Welcome to Writers with Wrinkles, where authors Beth McMullen and Lisa Schmid iron out the wrinkles in writing, publishing, and everything in between, one podcast at a time.
Hi, friends. I'm Beth McMullen.
And I'm Lisa Schmid.
And we're the co-hosts of Writers with Wrinkles. This is season 3, episode 11, a deep dive craft episode. And today we're talking about pacing. Pacing is slippery and can feel vague, but you know good pacing when you read it. And so today we're going to figure out how to get it right.
So pacing, let's talk about pacing. It's a good reminder for me today because I'm in the drafting phase. So anything that can remind me of what I need to do to write, because sometimes when you haven't, like when you're new to drafting again, it's like you feel like you've forgotten how to write.
And pacing is one of those things that you forget first. Honestly, pacing is less speed and more rhythm. And if you've ever been reading a novel and you think to yourself, I'm going to skip these 3 pages because they're boring, that means the pacing is not good. It's not working. So just keep that in the back of your head. The pacing is important to keep the readers engaged and invested in the story that you're trying to tell. So we have a handful of tips, of course, to make you better at pacing. Number one, know your terrain. So different genres come with different pacing expectations. So thrillers move quickly. Literary fiction might have a slower pace, allowing for deeper exploration. Figure out what the novels have in the genre you want to write and understand those pacing rhythms, because that's what you're aspiring to. You want to match what is expected in the genre that you've picked and map your plot points. So outline the key plot points. I know this is really hard for some of us, me included, but you're not talking about really detailed outlining, just like beats that you want to hit, like the inciting incident, you know, resolution, climax, all of those things. So you have a little bit of a roadmap that helps you visualize the pace and, most importantly, identify potential sags, like where you're going to have those pages that people want to skip over because it just slows down, bogs down the story.
I think it's one of those things that if you read back over a chapter and if you feel bored at all with your own writing, then you have some work to do. And I've done that so many times where I'm like, oh my God, I have too much dialogue. They're talking too much. And they'll just like, I have to go back and cut the dialogue. So reading back over what you've written is really helpful when you're looking at your pacing problems. Craft compelling scenes, vary sentence length and structure. Shorter, punchier sentences accelerate the pace while longer, descriptive ones slow it down. Use this variation to create a dynamic reading experience. And also, so important, show, don't tell. Immerse your readers in the scene through vivid descriptions and action verbs. This eliminates the need for lengthy exposition, keeping the story moving.
I think sometimes if you even look at a paragraph and if you have the same rhythm for all the sentences, you can see that it's almost like lulling you into a stupor. So you want to put some variation in there, make some sentences shorter, tighter, punchier, whatever it is that puts a little bit of variation among them. And you can see it, like it's right there in front of you.
Yeah, because I write middle grade, I tend to write shorter paragraphs because I feel like kids have and I have a short attention span. Like if I see a huge paragraph, it's already daunting to me. I'm like, something better be good in that paragraph or I'm skipping
over. Well, that is actually really important to note because that's the sort of stuff that you skip over as a reader. So if you have a really long paragraph, maybe you break it up into 3 paragraphs, right? And you break each of those paragraphs into different kinds of sentences just so that the reader doesn't drift off to something else like their phone or TikTok or whatever.
There's always that saying about white space. White space is good when the reader turns the page. Sometimes when they see all this text, it can feel daunting that they have to through it.
Okay, so I have another hang up. If you have a really long quote or you have something that's all in italics, I can't read it. I just skip right over it. And I don't know why. It's like this weird habit that I see the quote or the italics and I'm like, oh, I don't need to read that. And I just go to what's next?
I did the same thing.
So be strategic. You got weirdos like me out there in the world.
I read this one book, and I it's one of my favorite books of all time. And at first I found it really funny and like I laughed about it, but he had this really interesting structure where all of a sudden there'd be like little footnotes in the middle of a paragraph. And at the bottom, it would have italics, like at the, you know, belief at the bottom of the page of like an internal thought that the character was thinking. I've never seen it done before. And at first I read it because I was like, oh my God, this is funny. And then after a while, I'm like, okay, now I'm just, it's a distraction to me. It was clever at first, but then I stopped reading it because it was like, okay, it's not really moving the story. Like if there's funny, sometimes it was funny, sometimes it wasn't. And it wasn't enough to like keep me reading now.
There's an adult series and I'm totally blanking on the name now. It was a mystery series. I think there were four or five of them. And she did the same thing where she'd have footnotes in it and that would be her talking to the reader. And in the first book, I thought it was funny and clever. And by the third book, I was like, please stop doing that. You're getting on my nerves. Like your pacing is going to be interrupted if you do too much of a good thing. Like you really have to measure stuff like that, quirky stuff like that, so that your reader isn't like, okay, enough. It was funny the first time and now I just don't care.
I was taking a chapter book session at a conference one time. And the one thing that always stuck with me from that session was the gal said, if you are writing a series, be careful what you put in there because if it's crucial to who the character is, or the setting or whatever, you're going to have to carry that through the whole series and it better be good. And you better want to write that into every single book in the series because the reader will expect that. And so now when I was writing my chapter book series, I've created like a monster. I didn't listen to her. I'm like, oh my God, I have to come up with all, you know, this certain aspect all the time. But that's something to think about. Like if you're doing a series, this is your warning.
It's totally true. It might seem cute and clever and fun, but think about it when you're hitting book four. Is it still going to be cute and clever and fun? Or are you just going to want to, you know,
poke your eyes out?
Yeah. So the next one kind of related to that, control the flow of information. Especially if you're talking about a series, right? Because you need to keep those readers engaged across multiple books. But you have to manage how and when you reveal important information to your readers. Keeping some of the information back, of course, creates suspense. And that's what we want to do because suspense is going to push your story forward and keep readers turning the page. So think about the critical bits of information that you're providing. And this is for any story. Doesn't matter if it's a mystery or a thriller or romance or middle grade or even a picture book. You're going to have to hold some stuff back because that's what's going to make the people turn the page. So think strategically about when you're going to reveal what. And it might be that you have things that you're holding back for the next book or book three. So this can be a really, you know, chapter to chapter, or it can be across a big series. So think about that before you start revealing information.
Yeah, I usually, when I'm writing a chapter, I pick like one main point I really want to get across in this chapter. And I'm driving it all towards that moment. And once I've made that point, I have like some kind of closing sentence or closing line that makes the person want to turn to the next page to find out what's going to happen next. So, and I cannot move forward unless I have that closing line, that hook for the next chapter. Like I was stuck on a chapter for like a week and I was working out with my trainer and she's like, what are you talking to yourself? What's going on? I'm like, oh my God, I'm stuck. I can't figure out the closing line for this chapter and I can't move on until I know what it is. And so it finally dawned on me.
Literally like 2 days ago, I was taking a walk and I was trying to figure out some important plot for this new thing that I'm working on. And I usually use the voice memo on my phone to capture anything that I'm thinking because I immediately forget because my brain is Swiss cheese. So I'm walking and all of a sudden I have that moment where I think, of course, this is how I solve the problem. So, you know, I pull out my phone, I hit the voice memo, and then I realize there's this guy on a bike screaming at me because I have literally wandered out into the street and now he's about to run me over and I can't hear him because I have my headphones on and I'm talking. It was so funny. I was like, I am going to actually get killed before I get to go back and make this change.
Yeah, and when it hits you, you know, you're just like, oh my God, that's it. And this line, it was magical when it came to me. And I do the same thing in my notes. I have like, cause I know I'll forget it. Like if I think of something in the shower, I have to repeat it in my head like 10 times. I'm like, don't forget it. Don't forget it. Forget it.
Isn't it terrible that you can actually forget it in the length of a shower? This is a real thing that happens to real people.
God, I'm so ADD. It's sad. Okay. Leverage your dialogue strategically. Use your dialogue to reveal character and advance the plot. A well-crafted conversation can be both informative and engaging, propelling the story forward without feeling forced. And this is a really hard thing to do. So don't rush through dialogue. You know, go back through it, talk about it out loud, or talk it through out loud. See if it feels authentic to you. Adjust dialogue length, short, snappy exchanges, speed up the pace during tense moments, while longer conversation can build character relationships or provide exposition in a natural way. And sometimes I go back and forth. It's like, do I just say this in the narrative or do I say it in dialogue? How do I reveal this information? And that's something you need to weigh, as like we were just saying. And then remember, dialogue can speed up the pace, making scenes feel lively and immediate, while description slows it down, offering readers a chance to visualize your world and understand your characters better. Go for balance.
Yeah, and don't repeat yourself, because if you say something in the description, you don't have to use dialogue for that. Don't throw away your dialogue. Make sure that you use it for stuff that's new and important. Okay, this next one we talked about a little bit, the mastering the art of the cliffhanger. We love cliffhangers. Lisa was just talking about how to end chapters on a cliffhanger so that your reader is like, yes, yes, I must turn the page. So you can do that through unresolved conflicts, unanswered questions, some hint at a shocking revelation, something big, or, you know, if it's chapter to chapter, big enough that the reader has to turn the page. You can also hint at things. So give a little bit of foreshadowing for future events. I love those in thrillers where they end on a chapter and it's always something like, but you'll never believe what's going to happen next. And I'm like, no, I don't know what's going to happen next. I got to keep reading. And then I stay up all night. That's how we get to where we're at. But super important. Cliffhangers are your best friend. Figure out how to do them well, and you're going to be a much happier camper.
Yeah. And sometimes it's funny. I remember Leslie one time, I had like a line that I just loved, and it was at the end of a chapter, and she read it and she's like, I think this should go at the first of the next chapter. And I was like, what is she talking about? Like, it's crazy talk. And I read it and I'm like, oh yeah. Cause it was almost like this, it kind of ended in this weird moment. And then that was like, it was like the perfect line for the first, you know, the next chapter. If you're worried about your pacing, that's something you can ask your readers to say, you know, say, look at my pacing. Do you want to turn to the next page? Or are you like, oh, this is a good place to put it down?
Yeah. I mean, super, super critical, because I honestly think that's the most important thing to getting people to turn the page. And there has to be a payoff for them turning the page. I sometimes feel like there's so many thrillers nowadays. I sometimes feel like they tease you and then they don't deliver. And that I don't like. I usually stop reading the book if they do that to me more than a couple of times. It's just not nice.
It's mean.
It's mean.
Again, if you're bored with your own story or chapter and you're getting irritated with your own words, There's a situation, and it happens to everyone. Like right now, I'm struggling through a chapter because I was bored with it. I'm like, oh my God, what's happening in this chapter? Like nothing's happening. I felt like my characters were taking forever to get to the point I was trying to make. Like it's their fault. I'm like, what a couple little jerks. Why aren't they just getting to the point?
It's like, I'm going to put them in detention. They're bugging me.
I'm like, I'm so done with you too. Just stop your talking.
But I think too, something to remember is that the beginning of a novel, yay, I'm so excited. I have this great idea. I'm plowing through the chapters. And then you kind of have a vision of where it's going and the ending, you kind of know what's going to happen then. It's that mushy, messy, bleh, middle where pacing becomes a real issue for most books. So honestly, you're really talking about that, you know, that middle section, which for most books encompasses most of the novel, where you have to be really aware of pacing and use some of these tips to keep your reader going, because you can really get lost in the weeds in the middle. The excitement of the beginning is over. You haven't reached the climax yet. So you're kind of wading through it, trying to figure out, okay, what's going to happen? What's interesting? What pushes my plot forward? So I would say use these tips for that. One other little thing, little bonus tip for you. Watch movies. Analyze the scenes in movies that build suspense or create a sense of urgency. And how do they do that? Is it visual, sound? Is the editing jumping you all over the place? Think about applying these techniques to your writing to get that level of suspense or urgency or whatever you want to call it in your novel. Because the thing about doing it in a movie is that it is so easy to just sit down, watch a movie, 2 hours of your life, take some notes, and just look at the transitions. Look at when it transitions from one scene to the next. Are your shoulders going up to your ears? Are you feeling that tension? Are you feeling anxious? Are, you know, is this person going to die? Is this couple going to get together? You know, is the dog going to save the day? Whatever it is. Those are really good ways to just get more tools in your arsenal to help you create suspense. So, you know, and you get to watch movies. So, you know, win-win.
Yeah. One other thing that I do, and it's almost the exact same thing, but using the book, I'm doing it with the book I'm reading right now. I will look at, as I'm reading it, I'll look at the page number and then look at my manuscript and say, okay, where are they at in the story? Where am I at in the story? And I compare the pacing. So especially when you're done, or it doesn't matter wherever you're at in your book, in your manuscript, you know, if there's a book that you're reading that's the same genre, and then I look at the page numbers and go, okay, we're about this far through, what's happening in this book, what's happening in my story. And it's almost reassuring because I'm like, okay, I'm at the same point. Like, this is, my pacing is on target. So that's another great way to do it, is just take whatever book and do the exact same thing as you do with a movie.
Because the beats are laid out for you. You don't even have to figure it out yourself. It's right there. And you have actual page numbers to refer to. So, you know, you kind of just loosely translate in your own head where your book would be on that same page. It's a great, great idea. And then you've got it right there in front of you. And you can even look at the transitions. Like, if you find a book with great pacing, you can look at how they make transitions from one chapter to the next. What techniques are they using? And you can borrow those for your own story. I think just remember that pacing is an iterative process, and don't be afraid to experiment and revise. You're going to experiment and revise so, so much. And as you tighten up that manuscript, you're going to be able to tighten the pacing. Don't be put off if you feel like your pacing isn't perfect when you're writing a first or second draft. You're going to fix it later, and you're going to get more ideas as you kind of move through the manuscript. So don't, you know, just remember not to freak out if it's not feeling like it's paced correctly right off the bat. You will get it. You just, it's really something that you can hone in on in the revision.
Yeah. And I know that there's some people that get worried about, oh, if I read, you know, I don't like to read while I'm writing because I don't want to copy I think there's this giant fear that people are going to copy, you know, subconsciously what another writer is doing. And to me, it's like you're absorbing the pacing. It's like you're absorbing how they're telling a story. And so if you keep reading over like all these books that are in your genre, you're just going to inherently know what that pacing is so that you can feel it yourself as you're going through it. So do not stop reading. Like, just keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. Don't be worried about that subconscious, you know, oh my God, what if I, you know, do this or that? You're not going to. It's just going to help you be a better writer.
That's like the drugs we're pushing on this show. Yeah. Keep reading, read all the time, read extensively in your genre. Don't be afraid that you're suddenly going to get confused about your own stuff because you're reading someone else's. I think you're totally 100% correct. And if you don't read in the genre, your ability to write in that genre is going to be hampered. So do it. Get the books.
Do it.
Tuck yourself away. Whatever it is. Okay, so that is our episode on pacing, and we hope it will help you iron out some wrinkles in your pacing.
Nice way to work that in.
I know, I thought that was pretty good, right? Listeners, please remember to visit writerswithwrinkles.net and find out how to support the show by subscribing, following, and recommending. You can also look in the episode blog and the notes for these tips, I've been trying to create like a little cheat sheet of the highlights, because I know sometimes when you're listening to a podcast, you're taking a walk or you're driving or commuting or whatever it is, and you can't write everything down. And so much of this stuff is good to have handy. So just check there if you want to get a little cheat sheet for what we've been talking about. And join us next week for episode 12, where we're talking to Sarah Schoenfeld, who is an editor for Harper's Children and Harper's Teen. I think that's going to be a great episode. People love our editor episodes. We always get a lot of good intel. And until then, happy reading, writing, and listening. Bye, Lisa.
Bye, Beth. Bye, guys.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Writers with Wrinkles. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. This helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.